Looking at Amos 9 tonight, so I'll give you a chance to find it. Oh, you gave it away. You're such a kind congregation, I tell you. 978 in the Pew Bibles, if you're looking for it. Between... You see Joel, you're close. If you see Jonah, you've passed it. That helps. So Amos 9. We'll be reading the full chapter tonight. Hear now the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord standing beside the altar, and he said, "Strike the capitals until the threshold shake, and shudder them on the heads of all the people, and those who are left of them I will kill with a sword. Not one of them shall flee away, not one of them shall escape. If they dig into Sheol, from there shall my hand take them. If they climb up to heaven, from there I will bring them down. If they hide themselves on top of Carmel, from there I will search them out and take them. And if they hide from my sight at the bottom of the sea, there I'll command the serpent, and it shall bite them. And if they go into captivity before their enemies, there I will command the sword, and it shall kill them. And I will fix my eyes upon them for evil and not for good. The Lord God of hosts, who touches the earth and it melts, and all who dwell in it mourn, and all of it rises like the Nile and sinks again like the Nile of Egypt, who builds his upper chambers in the heavens and founds his vault upon the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the surface of the earth. The Lord is his name. Are you not like the Cushites to me, O people of Israel, declares the Lord? Did I not bring you up from Israel, the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the surface of the ground, except that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, declares the Lord. For behold, I will command and shake the house of Israel among all the nations, as one shakes with a sieve, but no pebble shall fall to the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say, disaster shall not overtake or meet us. In that day I will rise up the booth of David that has fallen and repair its breaches, and rise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord, who does this. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land that I have given them, declares the Lord your God. Thus ending the reading of God's word, let's go to him in prayer. Lord God, may my words and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. In your son's name we pray. Amen. My dad once said that after every winter, there's always a spring. Now, my dad grew up in Wisconsin, where there's real winters, not just week-long winters, where you have to decide if you should wear jeans or not with your flip-flops. Wisconsin winters are cold, they're icy, there's snow, there's dampness for months. And as a little boy, trapped inside, my dad would often wonder if winter would ever end. But then he would see the first robin and the first flower bursting forth from the icy ground, and he would know that spring is coming, that after every winter, he observed, even the coldest of winters, there was always a spring. The book of Amos is a winter-like letter. It is a message of judgment, not to the enemies of God, but to the Israelites in the north, the people of God. Amos, a shepherd, comes into the city of the Israelites, wealthy, prosperous, but godless. And he speaks these words of judgment to God's own people. Amos is a promise of the covenant curses. God's going to keep his promise. Covenant curses to those that were covenant breakers, people of God in Israel. And for 8.5 chapters, God has announced a hopelessness because of the people's sin. Destruction, exile that's pending because of the people's unfaithfulness to God and His Word, His prophets, His law. But the purpose of Amos is restoration. The purpose of Amos is for sinners to hear the warnings and to return to their God. The chapter is gloomy, but it's an invitation for repentance and renewal and faith in God. We've not read the entire book of Amos tonight. But if you did, you got a small glimpse, at least tonight, in the first section of 9, to hear the judgment that is to come. And imagine if you were one of those that were there when Amos spoke these words. And you heard the message of judgment, and it changed your life. You were one that had actually changed. You repented of your sin. You were faithful. You saw God differently and worshiped Him rightly. You saw people differently and you took care of the poor and not trampled them for your own wealth. It changed you. And what if you were one of those that lived faithfully for many years in a faithless generation among a wicked people? And then one day came. The day that God promised through Amos came. The day of invasion by the Assyrians, and exile, and destruction of your city and your home. And you were there and you witnessed that. What hope would you have to cling to? What could you trust in for comfort if you faced the destruction that Amos spoke about? The last chapter, the last half of chapter 9 of Amos is a consolation, or it's words of comfort for those who would be faithful in the days of destruction. This is what they had to hope in. And so we'll see tonight two phases, the first and the second half of Amos. The first is this hopelessness of destruction. For those who have rebelled against God, those who have hard hearts, who refuse to hear the prophet and face nothing but hopelessness. And then we'll see the hopefulness of restoration that will come for those who remain faithful, depending upon God and His Messiah. So let's start with the bad news. hopelessness and destruction. I hope from even the small reading tonight of Amos that you can see how seriously God takes sin. God is patient, He is gracious, but He's also holy and just. And He must punish the wicked, even if that means sending judgment upon His own beloved people. And the images of judgment that we find in Amos, they should scare us back to God. They should cultivate in us a heart of repentance and of faith and obedience to God anew. They should remind us how hopeless we really are to save ourselves apart from the grace of God. After exposing the people's sin throughout the book of Amos, after removing all their excuses, after knocking out from underneath them their false securities, the covenant breakers in Israel are brought to the point of hopelessness with a promise of judgment coming with no escape. And despite that message, as clear as it was by the prophet, the wicked people still had hard hearts and still turned from God, and therefore judgment had to come. And this message by Amos was important for them to hear, because perhaps some would still hear it and change. Some would still hear the hard message of destruction for sin and repent and be saved by the grace of God. Now, in this section of Amos 9, we see different imageries of this destruction. And the first image is that of a temple being destroyed. And so look with me again at verse 1. I saw the Lord standing beside the altar, and He said, shake the capitals until the thresholds shake, and shatter them on the heads of all the people. The Lord is standing beside an altar. Now there's only one true altar the Lord would be standing beside, and that's the one in Jerusalem. In the northern kingdom of Israel, they set up false altars to worship God so people wouldn't go to Jerusalem to worship, bringing their money along with them. But God is there at His altar. And we see this picture that God's judgment is bigger and broader than just the northern kingdom of Israel that Amos is speaking to. It includes the southern kingdom of Judah. And we know that they too would experience an invasion and destruction and exile. But the message that's alarming for the northern kingdom is if the holy temple of Jerusalem would be destroyed by God, then what chance does the false temples in the northern kingdom have? They have no chance. Absolutely none. And that's the point. There, if Jerusalem will fall, so will the false temples fall and be destroyed by God. God is destroying His own earthly temple here. He removes the place of His presence where He once dwelt with His people. Now, Adam and Eve, they enjoyed God's presence in the garden. But because of the fall, they were forced